Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 9, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things, but the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. At the hand of a man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of a man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you being, be ye fruitful, and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you, of fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of flood. Neither shall there be any more, be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said this, is a token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and I shall be for a token. It shall be for a token of covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." Father, I pray that your perfect will be done this evening. I am in desperate need of you. I pray that your Holy Spirit will meet with us, that your Son Jesus will be honored and glorified, and Father, that you'll be pleased. Use us tonight. Thank you for the sweet spirit we've already have. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for these people that want to give you praise. I'm thankful for that. And we certainly love you. You're worthy of the whole hour of praise. And I pray that you'll just help us to keep that in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I got six things that I want to give you this evening. And I'll try to make them as quickly as the Lord will allow me to make them. Number one, I want you to know Noah was blessed. God blessed Noah. I want God's blessing on my life. Do you want God's blessing on your life too? I want God's blessing. Let me ask you, why do you suppose, and this is not for you to respond, this is for you to think, why do you suppose God blessed Noah? Are you ready for this? Because Noah obeyed. Pretty simple. Noah got off the boat, and God blessed Noah. If Noah hadn't got off the boat, better yet, if Noah had never built a boat, there'd have been nobody to bless. But because of Noah's obedience, God blessed him. Let me ask you a question. Are you being blessed? I mean, we have blessings from God for sure. But you and I can only be blessed if we are obedient to God. Are you and I being obedient to God? Has God revealed something? Maybe something this morning. Maybe something yesterday in your devotions. Maybe something last week was said just in passing. Maybe you're flipping through the TV and some preacher came on there and said something, and you're like, boy, I needed that. And you just ignored what God had asked you in your heart to do. He spoke to you, he confronted you about something, and you said, well, that's not for me. Well, you're not going to be blessed. You know, I'm determined that God deals with people in different areas of their life at different stages of their life. You may not be convicted like I was convicted about praying with your wife. Maybe that hasn't hit you yet. You continue to grow in the Lord, it will. But maybe God's got some, you know, it's like I got 75 layers of onion that God's got to continue to peel back, and he just peeled that one back. And I don't know how many more layers there are, but there's a lot. And we're all in different layers of onions in our life, I suppose. And maybe you don't go visiting. Maybe you don't tell people about Jesus. Maybe you don't hand out tracts. Maybe Thursday visitation isn't for you, you think. But yet, you in your heart, God has stirred you about that. And you're like, you know, I need to do that. And you make excuses of why you don't. Now, Maybe God hasn't done everybody that way, but he's done that to you. You know, there's only one person God told to build a boat. Now, anybody could have got on as far as I know, but there was only one person that God said, hey, build me an ark. And maybe God is telling you to do something. You say, well, they don't do it. Maybe God's not dealing with them about that yet. Maybe he needs to, and he will, but maybe not right now. And maybe God's spoken to your heart, you know, I need to be more faithful to visitation. I should do that. But I got this and this. Listen, I'm telling you, you can't be blessed unless you obey. I'm just picking visitation. I know what happens. I'm like you when I'm sitting in a congregation and a preacher preaches. Well, he did, like this morning, I mentioned Netflix. And somebody, I guarantee you, somebody said, well, I watch Hulu, so I'm okay. You know that happened. I know that. I was driving home and I was thinking I should have hit Hulu too. Because somebody said, I didn't watch Netflix, but I do watch Hulu, so I did. That doesn't count for me. Woo! Got out of that one. God wasn't speaking to me. I'm just picking something, whatever it may be. Maybe more faithful to church. Maybe praying with your wife. Maybe praying with your children. Maybe family devotions. Maybe reading your Bible every day. I don't know. God has spoken to you about something, and I want you to know that you want to be blessed, obey. You know the song, don't you? Trust and obey. For there's no other way, and I'm not quoting scripture, I know, but this is a good scriptural point. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. What? Well, what do you know? Are you trusting God? Are you obeying God? Noah was blessed. Number two, I want you to know that God commanded Noah to do something. In this passage of scripture, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Now, the earth is pretty fruitful and has been multiplied. And some people have taken that covenant to heart. They feel like they got to do it by themselves. And that's fine. Love children. I have four of them. I have four of them, and I love children. I love my children. My wife, you know, my wife doesn't want any more. She doesn't. Bless her heart. We're joking about that, but you know that God commanded Noah to do something. Well, my point is this: God commanded Noah to do it. My question is, did Noah do it? Again, he obeyed or we wouldn't be here. Yes. And you know, God has something specifically he wants you to do too. He has a command for you. Isn't the Bible wonderful that you can get some simple truth out of some simple words? And Noah, God blessed Noah. Why did he bless him? Because he built an ark. And he obeyed. And then he commanded Noah. Hey, God has a command for you. God has a command for you. We need to be doing what God wants us to. I want to know God's command for my life. I want to know what God has for me to do. Do you want to know what God has for you to do? Ask him. Now, the other three are interesting. They're not nearly as spiritual, I guess. Did you know God chose mankind over animals? I guess this is spiritual, but God chose mankind over animals. You can find this in the passage of Scripture. And I'm glad about this. Think about it. The horse is a powerful animal. I don't own a horse. My daughter Autumn wants a horse so bad. I don't know anything about horses. And I know who would end up trying to be taken care of that horse. And I just not getting their horse. But some of you own horses. And they are beautiful, majestic animals. I know Sue Moran has a horse. And maybe you have a horse. I don't know. She has a couple of horses. And the horses are beautiful creatures. They're powerful creatures, are they not? I mean, do you think that if a horse had a sense to destroy you, you would lose? So why don't horses just continually kill people? Because God put a fear in an animal. Did you know that? Now, I know that there's the occasional bear mauling or dog mauling. I understand that. That's very rare. I've never ran into a bear where I was like walking a trail and me and a bear stood face to face and I didn't know what to do and he didn't know what to do, you know. But I understand that if you make really loud noises, usually bears run off. They see a human being and they don't hunt us down typically, unless you've done something to one of their cubs or you're endangering their children, their cubs. Typically a bear, a powerful bear, will run away. We can take a horse. You can break a wild horse, or somebody can, I can't. Break a wild horse, then you can ride that wild horse. You can lead that horse around, that powerful, majestic animal. God put that, and people say, well, evolution is right. We're just a form. No, God put a fear and a respect in animals about of human beings. It's right here. You find it in Scripture. Makes sense. I go outside, and there's a cat. You know what? I go, phew. Go outside, and there's raccoons. They go away. I go outside, and there's a dog. It'll run away. Here we have God chose mankind over animals. I like this. God allows man to eat meat. Did you know before the flood, there's no case of man eating meat? This is the first time that... I wonder what that was like. God said, Noah, trees, no fruit. They're growing. There's no fruit on those trees yet. The ground, the soil... probably not really good for farming just yet. It will be. You see that pig over there? You can eat that. Huh? You can eat that. And I wonder how great it was for Noah and his sons to have bacon for the very first time. Can I get a witness? You say, well, they were Hebrew. The law wasn't written yet, so they could eat bacon. Can you imagine how good that was? I love bacon. Bacon's so good. It is so good. Not the real crispy kind. It's got to be soft. It's really good stuff. Can you imagine that for the first time they got to eat meat? No wonder we're not vegetarians. Now you say, well, I don't eat meat. That's fine. I don't care. But God gave us the right to... He said, all living creature, you can eat meat. So eat up. You know, God allowed this to happen. Maybe because there wasn't a lot of vegetables or trees or whatever. If you don't like to eat meat, don't. But... here we have a God allowing it. Now, not allowed to eat animal's blood. The very next verse says, but you cannot eat, it says, but flesh with life thereof, which is in the blood thereof, shall not eat. You're not to eat an animal alive. You know, hey, here's a duck. Was alive. Not a good idea. And you're not also supposed to be drinking the blood, eating the blood. And there's a specific reason. And I was doing some study. I was wondering, well, you know, because you... Now, I'm not saying that if you're at a restaurant, you say, I like mine meat. I like mine rare. And you bring that steak out. You know, I had a guy one time. They said, how do you like your steak? I want a steak so rare that a good vet could bring it back to life. You know, that's not for me. But it steak's good, you know. But this was important. And so let me just read to you from what I got about this. Here's what a commentator said. Though animal food was granted, yet the blood was most solemnly forbidden because it was the life of the beast. And this life was so to be offered to God as an atonement for sin. When they took an animal and they sacrificed it, you know, God didn't eat the meat, but he did accept the blood. The blood was a picture of something, and God says, you can't eat the blood. You can't eat the blood. It's a picture of our Savior. Hence, the blood was ever held sacred because it was the grand instrument of expiation and because it was typical of that blood by which we enter into the holiest. And so the reason that there was no blood to be eaten in the flesh was because it was a picture of the blood that was for the atonement of our sins, a picture of the blood that would one day wash away our sins. Hallelujah, what a Savior. God said, hey, don't eat the blood. Now, you and I must understand that animals are not made in the image of God. Animals are not made in the image of God. Here's a perfect example. God says, don't kill man, and then tells you to go ahead and eat meat. I mean, he says, hey, God, and we'll talk about this in a second, but God has a great viewpoint on life, human life especially. Animals are not made in the image of God. However, that doesn't mean that we're to be cruel or hateful to animals. You shouldn't go around kicking your dog because it's in your way. So that's what I do. Bless God, I'm a man. That's stupid. Excuse my French. It's unbiblical. It's unbiblical. You know, I used to hear people who didn't like cats, what they do to cats. And, you know, I never really liked cats much either. But the older I get, I don't like animals to get hurt. I don't even really like to kill a bug. I saw a bug the other day and it was flying around. I said, you know, that bug probably only has 24 hours of life. Why would I snuff it out? I mean, life's precious, isn't it? And it's, I know it's done. Now, snakes, rats, mice, they don't count. Right? A mouse in the house, a rat in the house, you know, go ahead, do whatever you got to do. We got one of those traps that goes in there and it spins around and... But you don't go out back porch, teenagers, don't. You don't go out in the back porch with your BB gun or your 22 and shoot birds just to kill them. You don't do that. No, I did. I'm going to give you a scriptural reason why you don't. Because God considers life precious. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10. I want you to listen to this verse. Proverbs 12, 10. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. There you go. Now, I'm not saying you can't shoot an animal to eat it. You can go deer hunting. Make sure you go deer hunting to eat the meat, not just to kill a deer. Make sure you, when you go fishing, don't just catch a fish and just kill it and leave it lay there. Eat the fish. And I'm not much for hunting. I don't mind hunting. I haven't done it for such a long time. I might even go this year. But if I go hunting, I'm going to kill something. I'm going to kill a rabbit or a squirrel or a deer. I'm going to do one or two things. I'm going to make sure I eat the food, or I'm going to make sure that the fur is used for some kind of clothing to help mankind out. I'm just not going out there to take an animal's life. That's just not what I'm going to do. And I have a scriptural point about doing that. I don't think it's righteous. I don't have a problem with you hunting. I don't have a problem with I love eating meat. I'll get to eat some tonight if my wife has something fixed. But senseless life taking is not good. However, man's life and animal's life are not on the same plane. If it's my dog's life or my kid's life, you know, I'm not even probably going to put a fireman in risk to save my dog's life. Sorry. You know, yeah, I have a dog in the house. The house is on fire. I don't want no fireman to risk his life and not be able to go home to his kids because I got a dog in there. I'm sorry. That's just me, though. I'd rather that fireman stay safe. I mean, I hope my dog gets out. God's given them enough sense probably to get out before I did. All right? Dog should have warned me at least. So, number five, God gives us his view on life. It's precious. It says, I will require life for life. A dog takes a man's life, guess what you do to that dog? If man takes another person's man's life in cold-blooded murder, the Bible has a viewpoint on that too. Now, it's not that you take matters and I take matters into my own hands. God has given us government. God has given us law. God has given us the rule of the land. They're supposed to do their... Here's what I do know. If you murder somebody and that person that murdered somebody is put in court and they put on life death row and then they die, guess what they never do again? They never murder anybody again. That was the reason. God says, hey, life is precious. Don't take man's life. If an animal does it, take the animal's life. If a man does it, the man's going to take life for life. That's God's viewpoint. Genesis 9:6 says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Why is that important? Because we're made in the image of God, and we don't have any right to touch anything or hurt anything that's made in the image of God. Final thing, God gives us promises. I will protect your seed, Noah. I will destroy mankind with a flood of water no more. And God gave his promise. What was the promise? A what? The rainbow. Now the world, perverted world, has tried to take that symbol, a rainbow, and has tried to make it their symbol. Have you noticed that? Well, do you know this? That in their foolishness, their rainbow only has 6 colors. Did you know that? Does anybody want to know what the number of man is? Do you know how many rainbow colors God gave? How many? 7. Do you know what 7 means? See, they can't even get that right. They thought that they took God's rainbow and made it their flag, and they only have 6 colors on theirs. Yellow, blue, green, orange, yellow, blue, green. What do you know? Roy G. Biv, right? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. God said a promise. Don't. I will never destroy the world with water again. I'd like to talk to somebody that studies clouds, because I never have, that really studies clouds. And I saw some things here that I'd like to ask them. Is there a rainbow in every cloud? If you look at it at certain angles, every cloud have a rainbow in it somewhere. Because the Bible says, when I look at the clouds, I'll see my bow. So I'm assuming that there is. I don't know if that's dogmatic about that. But God promises he'll never destroy the world with water again. So tonight, here's the questions. Are you blessed? If you want to be blessed, you have to obey. Has God told you to do something, but you haven't? Have you been listening for God's command in your life? He has a certain thing for you to do. He has a plan for you to do. Are you close enough to God to hear it? Is life precious to you? Are you taking care of the life that you have? And I think that's an important thing. You and I need to take care of the life that God has given us. Go to the doctor if you're sick enough and take the medicine if they give it to you if you need it. Take care of your life. Extend your life as long as God will allow and be as healthy as you can as long as God gives you life. Are you taking care of yourself? You're made in the image of God. It's important to do. You know, back in the olden days, preachers used to chuck it up and laugh. Yeah, bless God, I ate 17 biscuits and 75,000 tons of gravy, blah. It's real funny. And then we'll talk about somebody smoking a cigarette. Hypocrite. Did I just say that out loud? But it's true. It's true. We can be gluttons and eat as much as we want, but we get on somebody for smoking a cigarette. Now, should you smoke a cigarette? Is it healthy? Nope. Should you overeat? Is it healthy? Okay. I'm guilty. I didn't get this by accident. I didn't get it on purpose either. One Twinkie at a time. But God has spoken to my heart about that, and I need to take better care of myself. Life is precious. Take care of yourself. But here's the most important thing. You might be taking care of your body now, but have you taken care of your eternity? It's important to take care of your life today. Have you taken care of your life forever? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Every one of us will one day face a holy God. Did you know that? I thought about that today. I said, wow, there's going to come a day, which doesn't seem real, but there was a day that I didn't think I'd ever drive a car. And there was a day that I never thought I'd be married. And there was a day that I never thought I'd have children. And there was a day some of you never thought you'd have grandchildren. And there's a day that some of you never thought your spouse would pass. And there's a day that we think that we won't pass. But I'm telling you, there's going to come a day that we're all going to stand before a holy God. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because everything that I said has always come to pass for and everybody in this life, in this room, in different stages. Because I have driven a car and I am married and I do have kids. That time has come. So make sure that you're ready for eternity. You plan for eternity.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.